Welcome to episode 4 of Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast, part of the White Dragon Podcast Network. This broadcast is brought to you by me. My name is Becky Actrez Adams, and what this podcast is all about is cosplay. Now, if you're not familiar with cosplay, it is literally the art of costume play. That's the creation, the purchase of, the putting together of character costumes from anything you could possibly imagine, from Disney, from movies, from anime, video games. If it's something that you want to become and you become it, you are a cosplayer. Today's guest is a very good friend of mine. We've been friends for a very long time, and he is also basically the male version of me. Now, Leo Camacho has found a home in geek culture and fandom fashion as a host, actor, and pioneer of a Disney style known as Disney bounding. A prominent member of the nerd and YouTube community, he's hosted for outlets such as Movie Pilot, Machinima, AfterBuzz TV, and Disney itself. No stranger to lifestyle brands, Leo was modeled for a number of geek fashion venues such as Disney Style, Lootwear, We Love Fine, and Pop Sugar. Leo was recently featured on BuzzFeed for his very detailed cosplay of Prince Eric, you might have seen it, and is currently a creative producer at Loot Crate. Hello, Leo. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a few months since I've seen you.
It's been a few months, yeah, and even that seems too long.
I know. It sucks being on the East Coast. I never get to see anybody anymore.
How dare you?
I know. That stupid family thing.
Responsibility.
All right, so obviously Cause and Effect is a cosplay podcast. You are a cosplayer, so let's start at the very beginning. How did you get into cosplay?
Well, I mean, it depends how far back you want to go, because, I mean, it essentially falls into the category of what is cosplay? Does being a little kid always wanting to dress up as fictional characters count? Or is it like the moment when you realize that cosplay is an actual term and that you are participating in that community? Because I've always dressed up my whole life. I've always wanted to be characters that you couldn't buy at Target or Kmart or something like that in the ready-made costume aisle. But as an adult, which I think is when cosplay starts counting, I must have started around 2008, officially 2009. It was actually pretty close to the time I met you, actually, because we've known each other for some time now. Yeah. I did Jack Sparrow, and I did it because I thought it would be – I saw people doing it at cons. I started looking up – believe it or not, I went to cosplay as a Naruto character. And when I started looking up costumes, I noticed that there was this huge Japanese sort of influx of people doing it at conventions. And so it caused me to look up American conventions. And sure enough, there they were. So I thought I'd try Jack Sparrow. I made this really, really low-budget Jack Sparrow thrift store costume. Showed up to the con, realized I was way out of my league. And then I decided to sell it. It sold for about $400 on eBay. Wow. And I was like, whoa, I built it for like $50. And I took that money, I made a better costume, and I was hooked ever since.
Wow. Now, why did you choose Jack Sparrow as your first one? What was the catalyst behind that character?
Ah, man. That was around the time when the pirate movies were just like at their pinnacle, right? Everybody was super into them. I'm being a massive Disney fan, was very, very, very into Pirates of the Caribbean. And that was also the time when, like, the whole Pirates versus Ninja thing was, like, a big – you know what I'm talking about. It was, like, a big thing back then. So I was like, well, he's a pirate. It's Pirates of the Caribbean. I love Disneyland. I thought the movie was fantastic. And he just seemed like a fun character to try to learn to pretend to be. I don't know. It was just – you know, that's an excellent question. I feel like I'm giving you all these reasons why, but ultimately, I don't know why I committed. I just thought it would be a lot of fun, and I thought it was oh, you know what? I lie. There was somebody on YouTube who was doing Jack Sparrow impressions, and I thought it was so cool, and I wanted to try it. That was the catalyst. That's what sealed the deal.
And I think you said something really important there. You said somebody, a character that you wanted to learn to try to be. Yeah. So there are a couple different kinds of cosplayers that I've seen. Mm-hmm. There are ones that do photo shoots. There are ones that, you know, do these amazing costumes and go and stand for photos with guests. And then there are ones that become the character. Now, yeah. From what I understand, you become the character. Tell me what that's about, why you chose to do it that way, all that fun.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I'm not that good at making the costumes. Like, I can't sew to save my life. So I generally reach out to a lot of friends that are far and vastly more superior than I am when it comes to making costumes. I'm okay with props, though. What I really like is embodying the character, because I think when it comes to, you know, this sort of escapism, I lean a little bit more towards the theatrical side of things. Like, I kind of like the acting part. I like the believability, and also I generally tend to focus on what people the phrase I've sort of coined is genetic cosplay, right? I always pick characters that I look like, and then I figure I might as well take that to the next step and just kind of act like them too, so that it kind of fully immerses you in the believability. And so I just thought it was fun for that reason, because at first I didn't really know there was a scene around it at the cons, right? I didn't know about costume contests and stuff like that, and you know, that there were sites that talked about craftsmanship and things like that. For me, it was just sort of like a spectacle. And it was a lot more, like, I guess I identified it a lot more with, like characters at a birthday party or people that do it on the streets for busking and things like that. And it just made more sense, right? Like, it's a character from a movie. I want to try to act like the character from the movie. I feel like if you see Jack Sparrow, you sort of expect Jack Sparrow to walk like Jack Sparrow. I may have picked like an overly animated character to start out with, to be fair. But then as I started kind of progressing, it was a lot more fun to sort of be that way. Now, to be fair, again, I also pick characters that are just sort of naturally like me a lot, Jack Sparrow being the exception. But like characters like Prince Eric, you know, I already look like him, and it's not, you know, he doesn't have, he's not the most colorful personality, let's say.
Really? You know, you look like Prince Eric? Who would have known?
I've heard that once or twice. Once, word on the street.
Well, it's really funny because every time you answer one of my questions, you lead directly into another question. And so I think you've already picked my brain on where this whole thing is going. Prince Eric, how did that happen? Because for those of you out there who are under some kind of rock and have not been anywhere near the Googles, Leo is very well known for looking basically exactly like Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid. So where did Prince Eric come about, and how did you become the real life Prince Eric?
Yeah, wow, man, that is a journey, right? That is one of those things that happened and has set me down a path that has completely altered my life. I mean, in a good way, in a positive way. It's funny, I was doing cosplay. I'd done a couple at the time. I still, you know, obviously no real intention on being a career cosplayer, I guess you could say. And then through all of the, you know, I started hosting, as you well know, because I literally started my career in entertainment because of you opening the door for me. I started hosting, I started getting into streaming and YouTube and sort of building a network in that world. And one of those odd sort of tangential connections that I had was to a YouTuber named Tracy Hines. Her costume designer was someone who I had worked with before, Joella in Firefly Path. And they were hanging out casting her live-action Little Mermaid video for Part of Your World. And I guess they had done an open casting call for Prince Eric's. I mean, they apparently had looked at like 200 different guys to be Prince Eric.
Wow.
And finally, Joella just said, hey, you know, my friend Leo looks a lot like Prince Eric. And Tracy said Leo Camacho, because she knew me tangentially through our network, which is crazy enough and flattering, by the way. And so she showed her my picture and she was like, oh my god, yeah, that's clearly that's the guy. So I came in, I met her officially in person. We dressed up, we went to UCLA, we filmed the video, and the video was a huge overnight success. I mean, that thing blew up, it went so viral. And the interesting part about it was that Tracy had never, ever introduced a Prince Eric. She had been doing Ariel for years, and that was how she sort of built her claim on the internet and built her following. But to her audience, it was a big deal that she was doing a live-action Prince Eric now. And when they saw me and realized how much I actually look like this character, GIFs were being slapped all over Tumblr, my inbox, rest in peace. It was just... It was just madness. I did not anticipate that. It was crazy.
And you think to yourself, those 200 guys who came in and auditioned, and I'm like, what the heck?
They're just like so close. Yeah. Well, the weird thing is like, because I look so much like the character, it just naturally snowballed. And Tracy was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Let's do a con together. And so we did a con. She goes, hey, I'm doing this series called Hipster Mermaid. Why don't you come in and be Eric in that? And I said, no, no, no. His name's got to be Derek because it's just hipster. And so like, she's like, yeah. And we became very close friends after that. So I just started working on a bunch of projects. We eventually did an Aladdin shoot. And I was her Aladdin. And then that was sort of this moment when people were like, oh, this guy is just like IRL Disney. And so it sort of spanned this whole new avenue for me and eventually led to other opportunities where I was Eric. And as you know, ended up on BuzzFeed. And boy, that was a crazy week, I tell you.
Sure.
That was something.
It's funny, too, because now since the Prince Eric thing has gotten so big, I'm starting to see other like your Aladdin, you led right into another question. Your Aladdin has now started kind of picking up in certain places. Here's the real life Aladdin now too. It's like you're the real life everything.
I'm the real life everything. Apparently, I'm the real life Aladdin. I'm the real life Hook, Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time, which is like now the big one. But I just did Poe Dameron, so here's an interesting one. So the Force Awakens came out in theaters, and everybody knows like Leo's a genetic cosplayer guy now. Like that's his thing. That's his jam. And he's pretty good. So then The Force Awakens comes out, and after the midnight showing, I go home, I go to bed, I wake up the next morning. I'm not even joking. My phone is completely just erupted with text messages of people who just saw the movie saying, dude, you gotta do Poe Dameron. You got to. You look so much like him, and he's got your personality. It's crazy. Come to find Oscar Isaac is actually also Cuban like me. So like I have like this strange cultural connection to the character now. And sure enough, I hopped on it, and now I'm also like the non-Oscar Isaac Poe Dameron. And then my Nathan Drake was another one that people went bananas for, which is funny because I didn't even think I looked that much like him. But, you know, I got the smarm down. You know, I got the animated eyebrows. So, so now people are like, what are you going to do this character next? Do this character next? Do this character. I did Spike Spiegel. And now everybody wants me to be in some sort of live action short for Cowboy Bebop. I mean, it's crazy. The community response is just so overwhelming and positive. And I feel very, very fortunate.
Oh, it's phenomenal. So what are your thoughts on Guyliner, since you mentioned your Hook?
Look, guys, I'm going to tell you something. Every male out there that's listening to this, don't deny the Guyliner. It has powerful, magical healing effects on your life. People, I don't know what it is about Guyliner, but people love it. And honestly, makeup makes you look really good. So give it a shot. You know, don't knock it until you try it.
That character, though, when I first watched Once Upon a Time, I was watching that, and I remember my best friend Dana and I were sitting there, we're like, who is this man?
Yeah.
And we like Googled it, and the guy who actually plays him in real life is a very plain-looking man.
Yeah, he's pretty
plain. Not this amazingly, but the minute he becomes Hook and puts on that guyliner.
Scruff and guyliner are like the winning combo to life, I'm telling you.
It's a thing. It's like seriously a thing.
The 80s hair bands had it figured out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's why all of us old folk love the 80s now. Okay, we're gonna switch gears kind of a little bit on the Disney side of things still.
Sure.
Disney bounding. Yeah. So you're, aside from your cosplay, you're also obviously very well known, you and your girlfriend Sarah, very well known for your Disney bounding. How did that come about?
That was even more sort of casual. I feel like every good thing that's happened in my life has spawned accidentally from me just sort of pursuing a hobby or a passion, right? Which is a good thing. Blessed, hashtag. But Sarah and I had just kind of been dating for a little while now, at that point. And she said, you know, there's this thing I heard about. It's like you go to the parks. But, like, it wasn't a big thing yet. Sarah was also like the host of Mice Chat, so she was like very into the sort of the Disney news and the Disney community thing. She was a cast member. She was just kind of very intertwined with all of that community scene, and she came across the word Disney bound, and she said, "Oh, why don't we go do a shoot?" Nobody had done any shoots for it yet. There were no Tumblr photo sets, and I just thought it was a cute thing to do as a date. So I dressed as Aladdin, and she dressed as Genie. And we went to Aladdin's Oasis at Disneyland, and we did a quick little shoot there. We put the photos online. I cleaned up the photos, with our new camera, put them up online in a photo set on Tumblr, and boom, people were just sharing it all over the place. I'm like, okay, let's do another one. And let's do another one. Let's do another one. And we just started doing them all over. And then we did an Oliver and Company where I did Dodger and she did Oliver. And we did a shoot in DCA, in California Adventure. And that shoot went crazy too. So then we sort of had this sort of crazy preconceived recognition with Disney Bounding that people were like, okay, what are they going to do next? And that's how people really started following us both as a couple. We entered a contest for Disney Bounding, and then we realized we shouldn't enter contests for Disney Bounding anymore because at some point people start voting for you simply because they had already been following you, and it sort of skews the concept of fairness. So, and then that was the point where we realized, like, oh man, people are really, really, really watching us for this. This is kind of cool. So we were constantly striving to come up with new and creative ideas. Especially when Dapper Day came around, we decided to do a Dapper Disney Bound, and we did Wreck-It Ralph. I was Vanellope, and she did Wreck-It Ralph, so we gentrement it as well. And man, that response was crazy because after we had done that particular Disney Bound, we started getting interviewed by multiple newspapers all over the place. I mean, LA Times, Orange County Register, Long Beach Tribune. And then we started getting interviewed. We were on Quartz.com. They came and they followed us around the parks. I mean, all of these venues and outlets attached, which is interesting because the Disney Bound was an online blog run by a girl named Leslie Kay. And I love Leslie. She's amazing. But it was strange that Sarah and I were getting a lot of the attention, A, because we were more accessible because she lives in Canada. But B, I think that we made it much more about us and our relationship and doing it and being part of this community. And then we just sort of were moved in that direction, which resulted in us meeting Leslie. And now we've done all kinds of work with her. We had the Disney Bound Challenge on Awesomeness TV, and we're on the Snow White DVD. I got to be we're in the special features where they talk about Disney Bounding. I get to Disney Bound as Snow White in the DVD. it's just wild. It's just led to all these opportunities that never in a million years would we have seen. And yeah, so that's a roller coaster and a train that went out of control.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. I feel amazing. Really fortunate. Literally, can you imagine going to the parks and people coming up to you and they know your name and they're so happy to be hanging out, not just because they follow you online and everything like that, but because you showed them this idea that you can sort of embody this fantastical element of this hobby that you love, right? Disney. And that there's a community of people that also embrace it so willingly, and that it's so fun. And at the end of the day, it's simply because you dress up like cartoon characters.
It's crazy. It's insane how fame can do that. Just people can gravitate towards somebody that is just doing something fun.
Yeah.
That's
and you know? All you're really doing is you're just kind of opening the door a little bit, you know, and you're just showing other people that it's okay to kind of embrace these weird nuances and idiosyncrasies that make us odd. Or how others might perceive as odd, but in reality, it's just like being a sports fan. Like, think about it. If you're into the Dodgers, you're going to go to a game wearing blue and white, and it's like that's like Dodger bounding essentially. It's no different. It's just we're doing it for Disney instead of a sport.
Yes. Now, okay, we're gonna jump back in the Wayback Machine for one moment, and we're gonna go back to when you and I first met back in 2008 when I was doing
the ice melted.
Yeah, I know. back when game music radio was still around. Oh my goodness.
That's another part of my life, yeah.
Well, that's what we're going to touch on is when you and I first met, you were doing something completely different. Talk about what you were doing then.
Once upon a time, there was a boy named Leo who was very into video games. And, it's so funny because I tell this story to my friends all the time because they're like, where did you come from? MySpace Music had just emerged around that time, and I thought it would be really funny to start a video game cover band, but since I don't play instruments, I made it a cappella, and I recorded all of the parts, very much like today's super-duper famous Smoothie McGroove, which I kick myself every day for not pursuing. But so I was doing that. Some friends thought it was funny. They recorded some songs with us. And then you guys, because then I started listening to all the bands, but you and Brian DiDomenico were like, hey, what's up? And you had me on your show, Game Music Radio. And for me, that was like a dream come true because I'm such a huge video game music fan. And to get any kind of official recognition, I mean, that blew me away. I was so hyped and I was so excited. And I go into the show and I had a killer time. And that was the advent of our friendship, which led to a long road.
Yeah, that's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy. Because that was a weird time.
That was a weird time, man. I was so into video game music. But it's interesting because after that, you had invited us to video game – or to what is it? Video Games Live, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
then that's when I met the Megas, who we followed each other. And then we ended up performing together actually a few times. And then I ended up meeting other bands, being on their labels, and then touring – I actually toured the East Coast – performing video game rap and selling
wow.
my art. Yeah, I ended up going to like Baltimore and Detroit. I performed Nerdapalooza a couple years in a row, and I met all those guys, and that was like a huge part of my life, and it all happened simply because you guys had messages to be on that show. Like, you started this avalanche, and then after I had done all of that, I was just like, God, I love social media because the possibilities are endless, right? Like, you have access to the entire world and to all of these different creative people and all of these different personality types. And although that's not related to Disney, everything that I learned there – because, I mean, ultimately it led us to having the Rad Nerd Show and getting yep. nominated for a Streamy and being on the stream.tv. And it gave me this fundamental understanding of social media and brand building and obviously launched, like, my personality career. And it's funny because at the time I was studying to be a graphic designer, but now – I do creative digital marketing campaign for Loot Crate. Like, that is my, and I did it for XPRIZE, I did it for Google. It's so strange that such a small little pebble led into being this avalanche of my life. It really truly started because you gave me a shot. So that's why I owe everything to you, and I always say that.
Aw. Kids, you can be anything you want to be.
You can do what you want to do.
Okay, now we're going to jump into the game because this is a perfect segue into the game. We're going to play a Disney game, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a Disney movie, and I want you, as quickly as you can, to sing a little bit from one of the songs that you can think of. And we're going to try and see how many of these we can get through.
All right, let's try. Let's give it a shot. Any song from the movie?
Any song, but you got to be quick because we want to try and get through as many as we can.
I'll do my best.
All right. And some of these are obscure, just as an FYI. Okay. First one, Pocahontas.
I look once more just around the river bend.
Okay. Mulan.
Who is that girl I see staring straight back at me?
You're choosing all the girl songs. There's guy songs in these too, you know.
Nah.
Okay. Oh, here's a hard one. Here's a hard one. Brave.
Brave. She's riding the horse and there's a cool the Scottish girl sings it. I can't.
Cold winds are calling and the sky is clear.
That's the one I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
You got me. I had to go. No, you got me. No, that was great. I'd rather you sing it.
All right. Rapunzel or Tangled.
I've got a dream. She's got a dream. I've got a dream. And Vladimir collects ceramic unicorns.
Okay.
Best part of
that. That's good. Aladdin.
Riff raff, street rat. I don't buy that.
Okay. Leading into Little Mermaid.
Ariel, the human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there.
Glad you went with that one and not Part of Your World.
I was going to. I had to hold myself back.
Nice. Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie a napkin round your neck, Cherie, and we'll provide the rest.
Nobody can see me, but I'm dancing in the background.
Oh, good. Also are the dishes and the cups.
Yes. Yes, they are. Cinderella.
Cinderella. Cinderella. I don't know the words. That's all I know is something.
You gotta
something,
do it in the voice. Cinderella, don't you think it's Cinderella?
What is it? What did you say? Like, that clock, Killjoy.
Snow White.
I instantly went to the well for no reason.
That's what happens. You go to the well. Peter Pan.
Think of Christmas, think of snow, think of sleigh bells, off you go like reindeer in the sky. You can fly, you can fly.
Okay, Alice in Wonderland.
Oh my gosh, what comes to mind is...
Dumbo.
Dumbo. Something, 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 seen everything when I seen an elephant fly. I can't remember
that. You cheated on that one.
I know, too many somethings. Too many
somethings. Yeah, no, and I think I've seen about everything.
I think I've seen, that's what it is.
There you go. Okay, another hard one, which a lot of people don't know. Bambi.
Oh, gosh.
It is not a song.
It is not. But it's the only audio that that is reminiscent of Bambi to me.
Tears, just tears pouring.
It's the sound of tears hitting the ground.
Actually, the song from that is Drip, Drip, Drop, Little April Shower.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
They fall to the ground. Yes. So it is tears. Drip, drip, drop, little, whatever.
That's, wow. You know what's funny is I didn't even realize that was Bambi. I kept thinking that was the Old Mill.
Oh, yeah, I could see that too.
I totally got that crossed in my mind. Yeah. Yeah, April Showers.
Yep, yep. All right, that's it. I'll let you off the hook for those ones. Good job.
Sorry, I tried my best. You got me on a few of those, though. I was thinking, I was like, is she going to go with Oliver and Company? Because I'm ready for some Billy Joel.
Yeah, well, do Oliver and Company. What do you got for that one?
Why should I worry? Why should I care?
Yeah.
There you go. You know, it's pretty good. Nice. It's a good song. Underrated.
It is. That's one of my favorites. That's actually on my playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a question. When your phone is on, what's on your playlist?
It's actually the Proto Men, which is a Mega Man rock opera. I still listen to a lot of video game music. I'm still super duper obsessed, but since I don't really have friends that are as into it as I am anymore, it's more of a private thing. But it's always like video game music, video game soundtracks, cover bands, and then, of course, Disney music. And a lot of Disney music covers. I really like finding other YouTubers that do covers of it. And then I'll I'll download their versions of it and put it into another playlist. I really like doing that.
Awesome. All right, Leo, that is all. Before we leave, can you give our listeners a little rundown on where they can find you on the interwebs?
Sure. Yeah. I am Leo Camacho. You can Google that. Or you could just do Mr. Leo Zombie on everything, except Twitter, where I'm just Leo Zombie, because I like to be difficult. And but that it's everything. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook is all Mr. Leo Zombie. Those are probably the best ones if you want to see my cosplays. There you go. And also, I have a channel called Thingamavlogs where we upload Disney-related videos every single weekday. And that is your Disney fix. So do that and you'll like it. I promise.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on Cosplay Fix.
It's my pleasure. It's good hanging out with you again.
I know. You too. We need to find a way to get together and do something.
I know. Get over here. Get back to LA.
I will. 4 years. It's on the calendar. 4 years.
On the calendar? Cool. I'll mark it down.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Leo.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Take care. Thanks so much for tuning into Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Be sure to tune into next week's podcast. But in the meantime, follow me on Facebook at Rebecca Denise Actress. You can find me on Twitter at Actress. And basically, if you Google Actress, A-K-T-R-E-Z, you'll probably find me. In the meantime, keep being creative, keep making magic, and I'll see you real soon.